What's happening locally? The news.
And it is time for our Friday morning look, our last look for the week. Some of those things relevant to us here in the Republic of Panama. The Department of Epidemiology of the Ministry of Health detailed on the afternoon of Thursday that three deaths were reported in the last 24 hours due to COVID-19. With these new deaths in the country, there is a cumulative total now of 8,239 deaths, and the lethality, it remains at 1%. In Panama, according to the entity's report, there are 3,951 new cases. 16,218 tests were applied, returning a positivity of 24.4%. There are 30,857 active cases in the country, of which 30,612 are in isolation and 245 are hospitalized. Those who are in isolation, they're divided into 30,563 in their homes and 49 in the so-called hospital hotels. While those hospitalized, there are 205 in the wards and 40 now in the intensive care units. After almost 2 hours of meeting with the President of the Republic, Laurentino Cortizo, the leaders of the Coalition for Unity for Colón, CUCO, stated that they are not satisfied with all the proposals presented by the government and did not sign the agreement to put an end to the strike. Edgardo Vautier, one of the leaders of the group and who participated in the meeting with the president at the, and this was at the presidency, they affirmed that the decision to end the strike is made by the union's General Assembly and that he was not authorized to do so. Upon leaving the meeting, Vautier stated that there were some proposals that represented progress, but other aspects were not to the agreement of the union. We're not satisfied with the government's proposal on employment. In a province that has 30% unemployment, said Vautier, we hope that the government will make moves in that direction. He also argued that the measure of freezing fuel prices only for freight and public transport is not complete, since it must reach the entire national population that has a vehicle. He stressed that the proposal was not satisfactory. Vautier expressed that there is progress in the talks to resume the construction of the new Amador Guerrero Hospital. It was reported that the representation of the teachers who participated in the meeting in the presidency did sign the agreement with President Cortizo. CUCO's leadership requests the execution of projects to generate jobs, actions to face the high cost of living and the rise of fuel prices, among other needs of the province. Although talks are being held with the government, CUCO's leadership affirmed that the strike and protest actions continue in the province. Since last May the 9th, the coalition has maintained the actions to stop collective transport, the marches and rallies that are part of the general strike in Colón. Ricardo Alberto and Luis Enrique Martinelli Linares sentenced last week to 36 months in prison for conspiring to launder $28 million in Odebrecht bribes have requested transfer to a low-security prison in Allenwood, Pennsylvania. The two sons of former President Ricardo Martinelli Berrocal submitted the request through their lawyers, Sean Hecker and James McGovern, in a written note addressed to Federal Judge Raymond Deary. That was on Thursday. The transfer request is based on relatively modest time that they have to serve and the extraordinarily poor conditions of the Metropolitan Detention Center in Brooklyn, where Rica and Luis Martinelli have been detained since they were extradited by Guatemala at the end of 2021. The lawyers, in their note to Judge Deary, allege that their clients are still locked up 22 hours a day at the MDC, so they request a transfer to Allenwood, Pennsylvania, as soon as possible. In the same note, the lawyers request to amend the text of the sentence of 36 months in prison issued last Friday so that it is stated that their clients must be credited with the 23 months of preventative detention that they served first in Guatemala and then in Brooklyn, counted from the 6th of July of 2020 when they were captured. According to the U.S. Bureau of Prisons website, the low-security prison in Allenwood currently houses 1,018 detainees, all men, allows pre-authorized visits from 8 a.m. to 3 p.m. Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and holidays. On the 20th of May, of this year, the Martinelli and Linares brothers were sentenced to 36 months in prison and 2 years of supervised release, as well as a fine of $250,000. Luis Enrique had pleaded guilty to receiving and laundering $28 million in bribes from Odebrecht on December the 2nd of 2021. Rico also did so, but he confessed on December the 14th. Both confessed that the bribes received were for the benefit of their father, former President Martinelli Berrocal. Ecker said last Friday at the sentencing hearing that Judge Deary indicated that the defendants initially thought the entire operation was legal. Later, when they found out because of the amount of money, they decided to cooperate with the justice system because they knew it was not right, and they themselves who took the case to the U.S. government. You will understand that it's not easy to go and talk to the United States government about your own father, Ecker said. What they did was because the father asked them to, he added later. Luis Enrique's lawyer also referred to the father's participation. He, Luis Enrique, began to do what his father said and opened the bank accounts. But once he understood that the source of the funds was illegal, he went to the government and spoke. He gave information, he gave the money, and he told his father, McGovern told Judge Deary. Nobody can be above the law, at least in the United States. They believe that here in the United States they could do the same thing as in Panama, especially when their father's the president, Deputy Prosecutor Alexandra Smith replied. Given these direct accusations, former President Martinelli wrote on his Twitter account, "No comments." For the second consecutive day this Thursday, the Court of Honour of Discipline of the Cambio Democratico Party holds a hearing for 15 dissident deputies accused of transgressing the line of their political group in the National Assembly. Hearings are divided into mornings and afternoon sessions. For example, this Thursday, Celia Peñalba, lawyer for deputies Hennessy Arjona, Fatima Agrazal and Arnulfo Diaz, and Abelardo Antonio attended. In the afternoon, Augustine Selhorn defended his wife, Deputy Marilyn Vallarino. The hearing is scheduled to end today, Friday. During the day, this Thursday, the complaint filed by the CD prosecutor, Raul Andrade, against the aforementioned group will continue to be analysed. The group is accused of not having followed the party line on the 1st of July of last year when they were asked to vote for Ronnie Arruz as a candidate for the presidency of the National Assembly. However, they supported the candidacy of the pro-government deputy Cristiano Adames, who was elected president. In addition, they are claimed to have met with the leadership of the Realizing Goals Party, meetings in which they even announced alleged electoral alliances for the May 2024 elections. For Andrade, who in November 2021 filed a complaint against the deputies, the ruling of the Court of Honour and Discipline will be forceful and in his favour. Andrade stated this Wednesday that the elements against the accused are solid. 10 days after the ruling Democratic Revolutionary Party held internal elections to renew its authorities, the Budget Commission of the National Assembly summoned two officials who direct entities in charge of programmes that deliver important aid to communities. They are Bernardo Meneses, Director of the Institute for Training and Development of Human Resources, IFARU, and Edward Mosley Ibarra, Director of the National Decentralization Authority. Meneses waged a tough battle for the third Undersecretary of the powerful National Executive Committee, the CEN, of the PRD, with Deputy Raul Pineda, Vice President of the Commission, that summoned him. Precisely the supposed delivery of scholarships in exchange for the votes of the delegates who elected the new CEN was one of the denunciations that marked the official party's campaign. Even in one of the congresses prior to the contest, Pineda even said the following, "We are the Budget Commission. We decide when and how. Do not forget that to those who are officials." Pineda, Cristiano Adames and Benicio Robinson, president of the commission, belong to the so-called Torrejistas resistance group, which opposed executive officials, including Meneses, who in turn sympathized with the vice president, José Gabriel Carrizo. Although the date on which Meneses and Mosley Ibarra will have to attend the commission has not yet been decided, what is known are the questions that they must answer. Manessis, for example, must give a report on all the scholarships awarded by circuit, as well as the scholarships for economic support, international scholarships, sports scholarships, to learn English, among others. Well, mostly Ibarra will have to answer questions about the transfers of money to community boards corresponding to April and May of this year. He also asks for an explanation about the elements that were taken in consideration to assign those amounts. Days before the elections, the presidency sent San Francisco Vigil, head of the Decentralization Authority, on vacation, and Deputy Director Mosley Ibarra remained in the post. Vigil, he's Robinson's confidant. Inside the PRD, there were reports of transfers to community boards to obtain political favours. Adam has spoke of, quote, briefcases. The Cabinet Council approved extending the temporary scheme of extraordinary contributions to the Tariff Stabilisation Fund to energy consumption as part of economic relief due to the COVID-19 pandemic. It was reported that the state contribution will benefit 1,117,694 clients. The measure covers customers whose consumption does not exceed 750 kilowatt hours per month. The Cabinet approved this measure in Resolution 62-22, in which numeral 16 is added to Article 1 of Cabinet Resolution number 60 of the 23rd of June of 2015. This is to extend from June 1st to July the 31st of this year the scheme temporarily adopted by the state for extraordinary contributions to the FET due to the new coronavirus. Francisco Alvarez, Director of Investments, Concessions and State Risks of the Ministry of Economy and Finance, indicated that this extension will benefit 92% of the clients of the companies that offer electricity distribution in the country. The Minister of Public Works, Rafael Sabon, said during an appearance at the Public Infrastructure and Canal Affairs Commission of the National Assembly that the objective of the entity is that the work now on the fourth bridge over the Panama Canal be resumed in the second half of the year. The head of the portfolio, questioned by several deputies for the lack of jobs in their communities, said that there is a financing structure endorsed by the Ministry of Economy and Finance, in which Banco Santander and Banismo participate. What remains to be done is for the consortium to sign a mandate letter. This is authorizing the banks to issue the debt with which the cash flow for the project will be obtained. What we want is for the works to be reactivated in the second half of this year, he said. The fourth bridge was tendered and awarded by the administration of Juan Carlos Varela to the Panama Fourth Bridge Consortium, which is made up of Chinese companies. At that time, a financing structure was proposed that ultimately did not materialize. The administration modified the design of the project through which the third metro line was originally going to pass, and is close to closing the financing structure when its third year in office is about to expire. Sabonge also commented in the commission that the pre-qualification document for the tender for the maintenance of the Eastern Pan-American Highway, the entity's first contract under the public-private partnership modality, has already been approved and will be published in the coming days. It is a section between Cañita, Agua Fría, and Yavisa, which consists of 247 kilometers. For his part, he said that the work on the project that was called for the beach corridor is expected to resume before October. This work, awarded in 2018 and which originally reached San Carlos, was substantially reduced to, in scope, to works in La Chorrera, including a viaduct. Some $140 million remain to be executed from the contract, with financing plans already approved. According to the Ministry of Public Works calculations, it should end in March of 2024. And that's it. There you go. There's our look. Some of those things relevant to us today here on, news happening here in Panama, brought to you on this morning's Breakfast Show.